Bibles, and we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and nothing will ever happen bad to you if you go to Open Door, and no, you're still on earth, unfortunately, and as long as you're in this world, the Bible says you're a few days and full of troubles, and so you're looking forward to heaven, but Luke chapter 2. But your troubles are reduced by 15%. But Luke chapter 2, verse 1. And let's stand together. I'll read the Christmas story out loud to you. And but let's stand together as you read it. We'll read the whole Christmas story. I hope on Christmas we stop before we open our presents. And I get a whole passel of kids and who like their presents. And we make them listen, and they like it. We sit there and read the whole Christmas story before we open presents. We want them to realize there's some an important gift that's more important than the gifts under the tree, and we torture the kids. We read it slow, but it's good to read the scripture. Read the God, and you can read Matthew 1. You can read Luke 2. Those are the best two passages. Read them to your family before they open the presents, and tell them that the greatest gift you'll ever get is eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is God's gift to us. Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, every one to his own city. The Cyrenius, he was the governor of the area there. He had one big stay, and during that stay there was no taxing, and so the atheists thought they had the Bible with an inaccuracy here because they went while Cyrenius was king, and there was a great Roman taxing. And later on, after they had written all their articles about how this can't be true, they found Roman coins and information that showed that he actually had three times where he was the governor in the area. And during one of those times he was governor, they had a massive taxing. And found out, of course, the Bible was true, but they had about 5 years there where they thought they had the Bible. The Bible always ended up being right. It's always right. There's never been a word ever proved wrong. It's only always verified. And so, verse 4, and Joseph went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel of the Lord said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born in this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they which heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. All right, we'll pray, and you can be seated after we pray. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the truth of the word. Thank you for this event that we'll talk about this morning, that we'll celebrate over the next few days. Thank you for a Savior being born. And thank you that he came into the world, came unto his own. And thank you that God became man. Help it never to become old. Help us always remember it and rejoice over it. And Lord, also, there's truths in here. There's things in here that are very, very powerful and poignant to our lives today. And I pray you'd help us and speak to us, Lord, and make these things practical for our lives today. And speak to every heart here, every single person, every background, every spiritual condition. Those who don't know you, may they come to know you. Those who know you, may they know you better. Thank you for all you've given us and all you bless us with in the Word. And thank you for the truth we have just in this one passage. Speak to us through it now. May your Spirit move powerfully in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Jesus had a very humble beginning. I've been in a lot of hospitals. I was in hospital this week, and just I've been in a lot of them. And I tell you, to think of a baby being born in a stall in a barn and being laid in the place where they put the hay, a little feed trough, I guess, and to think of the Son of God having been born there, and the humble beginning that he had, and the way he came there. He's born there. Of course, they were going back to his hometown, Bethlehem, to Joseph's hometown. And on the way, it was time to be born, and they went to stay in an inn, and the inn was full because everybody was traveling at the time for that great taxing right there in Bethlehem. And they tried to stay there, and they didn't have room for them in the inn, so they went out to the barn, basically, and she said, it's time. And there came the baby in there. He was born laying in the manger and born there in that humble beginning. And not far away in some fields, there were some shepherds, and they were watching their flocks and taking care of them at night, watching for any wild animals or anything, and just a typical quiet night out in the fields and out in the country. And suddenly an angel appears, and bright light shine around about him, and here's this miraculous being standing in the middle of them. And they're very afraid, and this angel comes to these shepherds and says, I've got a great announcement for you guys. We don't know anything about these shepherds. They're just the people nearby, and God said, I want you to know about this announcement. Can you imagine them quietly laying there, just listening for any sound, looking at the stars maybe, listening to the sheep, maybe singing to the sheep to get them to sleep, or walking around the sheep, and suddenly, boom, here's an angel. And it's like, whoa. And the angel has light shining around him and says, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And they give them an announcement. And the shepherds, they see the glory of God all around them in verse 9. And then, lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. They were very afraid. They were so afraid that God's glory was shining. And they get this announcement. And this angel says, I've got good news for you. Guess what happened? And tells them about Jesus being born. And the shepherds leave their flocks, and they go to worship, and they want to eventually see the Savior and do that. And we have this amazing announcement these shepherds see. It's the same announcement we have today, 2,000 years later. It's a wonderful announcement. It's the greatest news. It's something for us today that we have the same announcement, just maybe not an angel standing in front of you, but the glory of God and the wonder of the great news of Jesus Christ being born is just as great today. And what was his message? His first message was, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Do not be afraid. We live in a world of fear. We live in a world of fear. To show you that the amount of fear, I just, as you look at current events right now, because a tragic, tragic, terrible thing happened in Connecticut, and 27 people were killed. People are so panicked, and it's a tragedy and a terrible thing. But you understand, 27 people out of 100 million people who were in schools that morning were killed. 27 out of 100 million who were in school that morning. And that hadn't happened in many, many years. But literally, people live with such fear and such insecurities that they are panicked across the nation of Washington. We got to change all the laws. We got to change this. We got to put police everywhere. We got to have this. Why? Because we live in a world of fear. We live in a world, and a bunch of people were all worried the world was going to end on the 21st. We knew it wasn't going to end. We knew we had at least 7 years because there's a 7-year tribulation. We knew that wasn't going to happen. And I was talking to people this week who were with Mayans on a mission field, and they're with Mayans all the time, they're Mayans all around, and they said they don't have any idea what we're talking about. They said they don't think anything of the end of the world or their calendar. Or they said that's an American myth, and they weren't worried at all. And so we live in a world where people are so afraid of everything. They're afraid of terrorism. They're afraid of natural disasters. They're afraid of disease and plague and crazy people. And by the way, they're all legitimate things that can happen. But the Bible says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. We're in the hands of the Almighty God of the universe. We don't have to worry about anything. Nothing can get through to us if we're serving Him without it being filtered through by God and God saying, I'm allowing this. And the worst thing that can happen to us if we're saved is we die and go to heaven and are in paradise forever. God's not given us a spirit of fear. I've lived in some bad areas. I've been in some bad places. I've worked in some bad areas. I worked at night in the murder capital of America. And I delivered there at night in Gary, Indiana in the early 90s. I always said I had an automatic defense. Gary is 95% black and very, at that time, was unbelievably, 1 out of every 1,000 people were murdered in the city every year. That would mean in Seattle, for example, it would be 700 people would have been murdered in Seattle. Seattle has 29 murders a year on an average. That's how bad Gary was that time. Shootings everywhere, guns everywhere. You just see it driving around. And I would get out of my van, and everyone would just, it was in these worst areas, and everybody just look, every eye, what is he doing here? And I get in my van, I take my donuts in, walk into the gas station, and I have this 2-minute period where everyone is elbowing each other. What's he doing here? And looking at me. And you can see the look is he Chuck Norris? Does he have a gun? Is there somebody else in the van? What is the deal with this guy? Why is he here? Why is he at night? And why isn't he scared? I would get in, deliver the donuts, get back in the van, start driving off before they could think of what to do. I was safe every time. I went to Cabrini Greens. They were the worst projects in America. The police didn't go into them. If you got shot in Cabrini Greens, you died in Cabrini Greens because the ambulances wouldn't go in there without a police escort, and the police didn't want to go in. And I've been in those places. And I walked around there, and people would tell me, you shouldn't be in here. It's not safe. And I've been in all kinds of places. I've been in dangerous places in other countries. And I've been in, you know what? The one thing people say, why aren't you afraid? Why should I be afraid? God's bigger than the ghetto. God's bigger than their gun. God's not giving us a spirit of fear. We live in a crazy world a little bit. We live in, is there crazy people out there? Yeah, there's crazy people out there. I've met them. You've met them. But you know what? God's not giving us a spirit of fear. We've got a big God. We've got a big God. We don't need to sit here and live. We fear the future. What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my nation? What's going to happen to my job? And you know what? Your job might, your company might not be safe. Our economy might have real problems. Our government is going to, at a certain point, be in major trouble. And the checks are going to quit coming. There's reason to worry, if you want to worry. But God will still be in charge. He can still take care of you. He said to these shepherds, they're afraid. Who is this angel? What's going on here? What's going on? He said, fear not. I'm not coming here to get you. I bring you good tidings of great joy. You can worry about your health. And there's things to worry about with our health. However, you know what? In heaven, you get a new body. And that body is called incorruptible. It never gets old. Never has problems. And these things right here, these things fall apart. They get old. He says, do not be afraid. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. I don't think you should be foolish. I don't think you should not be safe. I don't think you should be unwise. I think, though, you should trust God and not live in fear. We have a big God. Amen? Do not let the world around you scare you. Do not let the world around you scare you. You got heaven as your home. Do not be afraid of the Lord coming into your life. Behold, I bring you good tidings for great joy, which shall be to all people. Some people are afraid about God coming into life and the changes he'll make. Those changes are only good. He's a good God. And I've heard that so often. I've heard that so often as of in the last few years. I've heard it more and more. If I let God do this in my life, if I let God in my life, then I'm afraid this will happen and this will happen. And even Christians who know the word of God saying, I'm afraid to give my life all the way to God because I know what it'll mean. Why are you afraid of God? He's a good God. He's your heavenly Father. He's not trying to torture you. Oh, you decided to let me have your life. I'm going to make you miserable. That's not God. But God, who spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Give your life to God without reservation. You'll find a good father who loves you and who wants to bless you. Amen. Yes, you might find some sacrifice, some things you have to give up. He'll give you better in return, both now and in eternity. Listen, do not be afraid of letting God in your life. The Lord has good news. Look what he says. And the angel said unto him, fear not, verse 10. Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. He brings good news. God loves good news. He said, my message of Jesus is called the gospel. The word gospel means good news. Good news. What a beautiful term for the gospel. I was laughing. We were cooking bacon here the other day. And we had the Haitian church meeting here on Saturday afternoon. And the Haitians, we wanted to get in some treats, some cookies and brownies and stuff afterward. And I said, how do you say in Creole, cookie and brownie and stuff? And they said, boom, 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 boom. I can never say, well, boom, boom, which means good, good. That's how they call sweet things. Good, good. Give me a good, good. I like that. It means it's really good. If it's really good, it's a boom, boom, boom. And so God says, my message to you is good news. My son gave his life so you can have eternal life, and you're going to be in paradise forever. You're going to have a new body. You're going to never have another sorrow. All the problems of this world will disappear. I'm going to make a new heaven and a new earth. There's no more sin. There's no more death. There's no more tears. I got good news for you. It's boom, boom. And it's good news. It's gospel. And we're blessed. It says, don't be afraid because God has good news for you. Number one, do not be afraid. Number two, Jesus brings great joy. Jesus brings great joy. He says, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. I love the term joy. What a great word joy is. Joy is such a high word above happiness. It's so deep down inside of us. And God gives us joy. With Jesus comes joy. Jesus said this in John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. The troubles of this world do not take away joy. They take away happiness. If you have a bad news from the doctor, or bad news from your boss, or bad news from the bank, it doesn't matter. Your happiness might go down for a minute, but your joy can stay there. Because the Bible says your joy no man takes from you. Joy is so deep. It's this profound assurance of eternal life, of the God who lives inside of you, of someone loves you unconditionally, of eternal hope. It is this deep, deep down joy that no man can take from you, that no circumstance can take from you. And you might say, well, I have this problem, this problem, this problem. How can I possibly be happy? I don't know if you can be happy, but I know you can have joy. Jesus says, my joy no man takes from you. And the joy comes from God. I bring you good tidings of great joy. Listen, it doesn't matter how bad your life gets. You've got eternal life. You've got someone who loves you. You've got a best friend in God. You've got a heavenly Father who's there for you. And the sad thing is, Christmas time is some of the highest suicide times and the most depression times. And there will be people out there with broken hearts right now. And we have it in here even today, and it's understandable. It can be a great joy time or a great sad time. But let me tell you this, even though the happiness might not be there in this time, have joy. You know, joy keeps you from being a grump. You can say things aren't going very good, but I'm really blessed. And things don't always go good. And you know what? We have joy, great joy. See, when you get Jesus in your life, you get joy. and the stock market goes up and the stock market goes down and your appearance goes up and then you have a bad hair day. And some of us have had bad hair lives. And you have a good day at work and you have a bad day at work. And up and down, life is just, that's what life does. You're flying along, traffic's clear, and then somebody gets in a wreck. And you yell, and you're all mad at everybody because they're all rubbernecking. You go, why do these people do this? Just drive by. That's a terrible wreck. and we go and we have things change all the time, every minute, all the time. Life changes. But you know what? You can have joy through all of it. I've spoken to you that you can have joy in me, and my joy can be full. All the way, tanks topped off. Your joy is full. See, Jesus is around. Jesus in your life. You say, I'm saved, but I don't have joy. When Jesus is around, when you're involved with him, when he's the Lord of your life, when he's the center of your life, listen, you don't have to get down or burnt out or depressed. You have joy. And you'll go through low seasons, and your happiness is gone, but your joy is still there. And that joy retains you and keeps you sane and keeps your mind and keeps you solid because you have a joy because Jesus brings joy in your life. And joy to the world, the Lord is come. Amen. Joy comes from Jesus. Number three, the good news and great joy is for all people. Verse 10, and the angel said unto him, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. Listen, it wasn't just for the Jews. It wasn't just for a certain race. The good news is everybody is invited to partake of this joy. It's joy for everybody. It's joy for every race. Did you see up here, all these kids up here? You see all their ethnicities? We had kids from, I had to think it through. We had kids from Mexico. We had kids from Samoa. We had kids from Tanzania. We have kids from the Marshall Islands. We have kids from China. We have kids from all over up here. You know, the good news is everybody in every nation, everybody in every background can be a part of this good news. God loves everybody everywhere. Whosoever, the Bible says, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for everybody. For the rich, for the poor, for the black, for the white, for the Down syndrome, for the genius, for the down and outer and the up and inner, for everybody. When Jesus was visited that night when he was born, he was visited by rich men from the east who had gold and precious ointment, millions of dollars in today's things, I mean expensive things, and they traveled great distances, and these wise men came with gold and silver and precious things and brought them to Jesus, and shepherds who were very poor came there too. Why? Because everyone's invited to Jesus. What a representation. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came off streets of gold in heaven came down and was sitting in the manger and says, I'm the God of all people. I'm the God of all people. And poverty and wealth, nothing could separate us from God. Our background, how we're brought up, it doesn't matter how you're brought up. This is good news for all people. Doesn't matter where you've been to, where you're from. Doesn't matter how much you've done. It doesn't matter. This is good news to all people. Doesn't matter if you've been religious, grown up in church, or never been in a church and never darkened the door of a church and this is your first time. It's good news for all people. The good news is Jesus died for everyone. Everybody, everywhere, every background, every situation. You could be somebody in here who's homeless and you can have a God who loves you. And you can have a God who wants to save you, and he'll be your best friend. You could be living in a very wealthy area, the very wealthy house, and a very good job, or maybe not need to work. And God still loves you and still sent his son for you, and you still have eternal life. It's good news for you who've blown it and have messed up your life and been really bad and done wrong things. And it's good news for you who've lived a pretty clean and pure life, because all of us just need a Savior, and that Savior can wash all of us perfectly clean. It's good news for every single human being. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's good news is for everybody. It's for all men, all people, it says. Everybody. Next, the good news. What is it? There's a Savior. It says in verse 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. By the way, the King James is spelled correctly. There's two different spellings for Savior. One has six letters, one has seven letters. The seven-letter one is the proper one. It's a position, and a certain person. The other one is a different word. It's much smaller. Modern Bibles use the wrong Savior when they put the word in there. Savior, S-A-V, seven letters, I-O-U-R, Savior, and Christ the Lord. Who's the Savior? The one who's going to save all mankind. Savior is a wonderful term. The Bible says he shall save his people from their sins. In our memory verse, Matthew 1:21, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. Whole title here. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, one who's going to save his people, which is Christ the Lord. Christ means the anointed one, the Messiah who's foretold. The Lord means he's God. You've got the one who's going to save you, who's the anointed one, who is God. And you got good news because of that. Boy, he's talked about in his great terms here in just who he is, and he's going to save his people. If you were drowning, there would be nobody more wonderful than a lifeguard. If you were falling down a trail and your leg was broken, there would be nobody more wonderful than that person they sent out there to go down the trails, and the explorers and the people that are trained to go rescue people. If you're bleeding to death and all of a sudden here comes the paramedic, boy, they're wonderful people. You're glad to see them. You got the person you needed to save you. Whatever your condition, whatever your need is, that person who saves you, boy, you're glad to see them coming. I almost drowned twice, and of all the evil, terrible, wicked things that saved me, my brother saved me twice. My older brother, and I joke around, he's 3 years older than me. I was always such a reckless kid, and twice I almost drowned, and both times my brother pulled me out. And boy, my brother looked good for once. Made it for all through the things he beat me up in. And it looks good. Listen, when you come in the need of eternal life, and you have sin, and there's no sin in heaven, the Bible says heaven's too holy and God's too pure as to behold iniquity. If you die and you have one sin on your record, the wages of sin is death. You don't go to heaven with one sin. You need a Savior. And the good news is, God said, I'm sending one that's going to wash away all of your sin. All that sin that you would have to suffer for eternity, he's going to take, because he's God. He can take all the sin of the world on himself and suffer for everybody's sin all at once. And he will take the weight of the sin of the world and all the judgment of sin on himself on the cross. He's going to save anybody who wants to be saved. So he died, was buried, and rose again to save us. A Savior is born. Boy, that's good news that he's a Savior. You talk about drowning and needing someone to pull you out. You talk about being ready to die and someone coming rescuing you. Those are all wonderful. But listen, above everything else, an eternal Savior to take away your sins. And please do not give that spot to anything else. One, because you will not go to heaven. Two, because it's unworthy. How are you going to go to heaven? I'm not sure. How are you going to get there? Well, I'm living a good life. You're the Savior. And if you're the Savior, you can only do that if you never sin once in your life. Then you can save yourself. Well, I belong to so-and-so church. I grew up Catholic. I grew up Baptist. I grew up Presbyterian. I grew up in the church. Then your church is your Savior. And a church is not a good Savior. It's full of sinners. I was baptized. That's not a Savior. Water is not going to save you. Do not have any Savior except for Jesus Christ. He's the only Savior. He's the only one who can take away your sins. He's the only one who can get you to heaven. He's the only Savior. And that's the good news. The good news is the one Savior there is gives you eternal life for free. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He saves you 100%, leaves no sin behind, and gets it 100% right, and saves you completely. It's wonderful. The choir begins to sing back here in the background. The angel begins to make his announcements. He says, fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And then all of a sudden, kaboom, a heavenly choir breaks out. And the music begins. And And the verse 13, suddenly there was with the angel multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. What's the last thing we see here? Peace. What's the message? The angel's message was, don't be afraid. Jesus brings great joy. The good news and great joy are for all people. The good news is we have a Savior. And the message was also, there's peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Here they are listening to this message and they're thinking, this is going to be great. Finally, peace on earth. Peace is a little different than the peace he brought. It's the God talks about peace in the Bible a lot. God likes peace. He destroyed the world because they were only violent continually. God says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be sons of God. Jesus said, if they smite you in one cheek, give them your others also. God likes peace. God wants peace. God made a world of peace, and sin ruined the world. And by the way, I think obviously we've gotten way too violent as a society. I want to say this. I think Christians are jumping in this violence way too much. And I don't think physically. I think you're glorifying violence with entertainment too much. I don't think Christians should be playing Halo. I don't think you should be playing, I don't know, all the games, where all it is you go around and kill people. I don't think movies were... Of course, horror movies are bad, but I just don't think the whole movie is kicking people's faces in and punching people and fighting in violence. Okay, David killed Goliath. Okay, there's violence in the Bible, but it's not glorified and just excessive and constant. It's not front and center. It's not the point. Okay, and we're getting into this stuff, and I don't think God is into it. I think a lot of Stephanie's thrown away. Thrown away. Again, there is a time and a place and a context, but to glorify it and put it front and center and watch people really beat each other up for entertainment with, you know, all this MMA and stuff like that, you're going too far. I think you're going to find, you're not going to like what society's going to look like in 10 years. You're going to see a lot more violence. And violence is really cool on the TV. But when people really get hurt, not so cool anymore. And when it's your kid or you or someone you love, it's not cool anymore. And those guns that are shooting people and they just flop backwards and blood spurts on the thing, when it really starts happening in life, it's not so cool anymore. I think casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, you got to be careful about this stuff. Okay, got to be careful about this stuff. And so we see here in this passage, we see peace on earth, goodwill toward men. But peace did not come when Jesus was born. As a matter of fact, Jesus went to live in Bethlehem, and an angel said, get out of there. And and Herod came, the king of the area, and decided to go and kill every child in his city. And Jesus had to flee to Egypt because violence was chasing him. But see, there's two pieces that are going to happen. The first piece is the kingdom of God within you. The second piece that is will be the peace in the end after a very violent end of the world at Armageddon. And Jesus is going to come back, and he'll come to the world at the very end of time. And at the very end, he will destroy everything. It says their spears will be turned into pruning hooks. The spears will now be used to take things off trees. The lion will lay down at the lamb, the poison animal, the poison snake. A child will pick it up, and it won't even hurt him. And in the very end, there will be no violence, no anger, no fighting, no strife, no nothing. It's sinless. It's perfect. It's wonderful. It's peaceful. That'll happen after Jesus comes back. It will not happen no matter what laws they give us on this planet. Men will fight. Boys, you put them together, and pretty soon they're shoving each other down. It's built in. And girls will gossip about each other and tell each other they're ugly, or whatever they do. And it's just, strife is part of humanity. Wars will happen. They called World War I the war to end all wars. How'd that work? But Jesus, in the end, will bring peace. Until that time, he sets up what's called the kingdom of God within you. And that is peace within you. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you, not as the world giveth I unto you." He gives an inner peace, a peace in your soul. See, a lot of strife comes because people are not at peace in themselves. A lot of violence, a lot of self-destruction, a lot of bad actions, because inside of them, the Bible says you war and fight because you war inside, in James, the Bible says. It's inside of you. There's war and strife inside and anger and lack of peace. But when the storm is raging and the waves are kicking around inside your soul, people find outlets for it. And they yell and scream and have strife with words and physical violence. And wars come because leaders of empires decide that they're internally not happy with what they have. And that all leads to external strife. They abuse their kids. They lose their temper. They can't control themselves. You know why all that is? It's because you're not at peace inside. And when Jesus comes in and the waves of your life go calm, and you go, "I'm fine. I have peace." You're very peaceful and calm, and your life's just fine, and you're not real worried anymore. The kingdom of God within you is the peace within that comes. Peace of God in our hearts. Peace between God and man. Now God is pleased with you. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says that we are at peace with God. Justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say this. When you have peace vertically, you're going to have peace horizontally. You'll find when you have peace with God, there comes such a serenity and such a calmness in your soul that your pride goes away. "You're an idiot. I can knock you out." Okay. "You're so this and you're so that. Okay. I love you." I don't do that because I'm spiritual. It just makes it matter. No. I want to tell you. So before, if you want to fight, go outside. If I'm not there in 5 minutes, start without me. You don't have anything to prove. You're secure enough because you're right with God and God brings great peace in your heart. You don't have to prove anything. You don't have to get him back. God will get him back if he wants to. They can talk about you. They can go and try to ruin your reputation. They can make it so you don't get the promotion. And you say, "If God wants to stop their work, he can stop it. God can give me a promotion if he wants. God can give me a better job. God can do whatever he wants. I'm not going to fight." When you get peace in your soul, it kind of gets the whole world. All of a sudden, instead of I-5, and you're all mad, and you're like, it doesn't make you go faster to pound your steering wheel. I wish it did. Google Gadget helicopter. I mean, it'd be great, okay? It doesn't get you there faster. And when you face traffic and people talking about you and the doctor says, "This is bad," you say, "I'm right with God. I'm in the hands of God. It's okay." You don't have to. That peace that Jesus brings, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." How many times did Jesus talk about peace? How many times did he mention peace is going to be there for us? He says we have a peace in our heart. In John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace give I unto you. Not as the world giveth give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." John 16:33, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. You have peace in life. You have peace with God. And the Bible says you also have peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds. You come into a situation in life like a normal person. It's our normal status to get worried and panicked. And you come into it, and you go into your prayer closet, and you leave it there, and you say, God, I give you this, and I leave it with you. And you get up, and you go away with a peace that passes understanding. Because you're right with God. You're in the hand of God. Life's going to be okay. God's in control. I'm still going to heaven. God still loves me. Many other things. You're at peace. You can stop and calm down. I want to say this. Many people have so little peace in their hearts, and they're trying to get money, and they're trying to get relationships, and they're trying everything to get that storm in their soul to calm down. They try all this stuff. The lack of peace, it makes them so they cannot even stop and assess their situation and say, okay, this is wrong, but this is right, and this is good. My kids are okay. I'm still seeing and walking and talking. I'm still free. And they're so at storm, and they're so chaotic, all they can see is the waves and the storm, and not think, my ship is floating. And I got food in this ship, and the ship's going to make it through the storm. The peace of God makes you to stop, take a breath, calm down. He didn't bring peace in the earth. We still have mass murderers and dictators and criminals out there. But those people can't take away our peace in our heart. The peace of God that passes all understanding. And so he brought this peace, the kingdom of God, and the peace of God. Read this again one more time in Luke 2, and we'll finish up. He says this, and the angel said unto them, fear not, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings. God's got good news, which shall be to all people. Good tidings of great joy. Joy is that inner happiness, the depth of peace because you have God. Which shall be to all people. It's for everybody. That includes you. For unto you is born the Savior, which saves you from your sin. And this shall, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in the manger. And suddenly there is a great multitude of the heavenly host, praising in God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. God has goodwill towards you. When Jesus came, it was a gesture. You and I have a conflict. Here's a Savior who removed the conflict. I have goodwill. Do you know God is for you? Oh, but I've been so bad, or God just must be angry at me because what happened? No. Goodwill toward man. God has goodwill towards you. God, that's grace. God loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to bless your life. He's for you. Understand, the cross and Jesus' birth and the whole story of Jesus was a gesture of love toward man, towards you. God's for you. You have good news. Peace and joy. A Savior. Christmas is something to celebrate. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you what it teaches us about the birth of Christ. Thank you. I just thought that this week, and maybe I should have noticed it a little more before, Father, but there was the rich men from the east who brought great treasures, and here is shepherds, and the whole spectrum of mankind meeting you in there, again, saying, it's good news to all people. Lord, I pray that we would let Jesus rule in our lives, and the King of Peace come in, and the King of Joy just rule in our lives. Thank you, every one of us has this opportunity to let Jesus be our Savior, to follow you, to live our lives in your hands, and know the peace of God. Thank you for what the Bible does. Help us to have that, Father. Thank you for it. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for taking care of us and all you've done for us, Lord. Thank you for the manger. What a humble beginning that God became man. He wasn't born in the palace, was born in the manger. Lord, these things are such symbols of the sacrifice and love you have toward man. Help us to rejoice in these things. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.